and slow down the process. It can go quick.
Time Bookman, Pashas Emor.
Ready? Good morning. I'd like to share with you today what I've described as a very nice shaila. It's a nice shaila because it's not a large amount of money and there's no hard feelings involved. Unfortunately, when you get a shaila, let's say in Yerusha, you got kriyvim fighting with each other, it's very unpleasant. You have a shaila of neighbors, shchenim shaila, the neighbors are fighting. If you have a shaila where, let's say, some investment went sour, so you got, someone's lost money, who has to carry the loss, and no one's got any money to pay for it. These are unpleasant shailas. This shaila is a very nice, friendly shaila, and it's also quite a hard shaila in that it involves a lot of different nekudas to address. The story was as follows. There was a school in town, which remained anonymous, which had a Purim campaign to raise money, and they told the kids in the class, any child who brings in, let's say, £250 will be entered into a raffle, and three names will be drawn out of the raffle, and they'll win, let's say, £50 worth of Sforim. That was basically the story. If you want more details, you can ask Rabbi Yedekin, he knows the story. So 22 children brought enough money, they entered the raffle, three children were drawn, they got told about the prizes, and, after the raffle, they realized, after they told the children who'd won, one of the children had been left out of the raffle. And the school didn't know what to do, like, what do we do? So this is not an uncommon shaila, people being left out of raffles. But this is slightly more difficult, this case. The first nekuda to address is, the first option the school could do is just ignore it. There's only 1 in 20 chance you're going to win, a 3 in 20 chance, so too bad, so we just forget about it. Often when people buy raffle tickets, let's say the schools come around saying raffle, they're raffling off a car, they're raffling off £5,000, £500, a food voucher to a store, whatever it is. So a person buys a raffle ticket and they get left out of the raffle sometimes. So in such a case, firstly, often they will write on the raffle ticket, there's terms and conditions apply. And the terms and conditions will stipulate that we'll try our best to make sure everyone gets into the raffle. But obviously we can't take responsibility to ensure that happens. Now, this is a tanai, and it's understandable because ultimately the purpose of the raffle is to raise money for the school, for the moist, for the institution, whoever is raffling off the prize. And really, the amount of value of the ticket, let's say it's a £20 ticket, the actual value, cash value, negotiable value of the instrument, let's say a 1 in 5,000 chance to win a car, is not worth £20. It's probably worth maybe £2, £3. So ultimately, you're giving £18 donation to the institution. So primarily the purpose of buying a ticket is really to donate money to the institution. It's an incentive that will also give you an opportunity to win a prize. But the main thrust of the whole raffle is to raise funds for the institution, which is what they are essentially doing, and that's what they've done. And therefore it's understandable if they put in a term and condition, we'll try our best, but we can't always assure it's going to happen. So you didn't get into the raffle. Not so terrible, a person won't be so upset about it. It's not a fundamental breach of contract.
The fact you can take it for money
on raffle tickets is based on this shaila. If a person, let's also get to it, any time a person gives a donation to an institution, and there is some benefit in the institution, for example, they make a dinner for the yeshiva, £250 a ticket to get in, right? And you come in, you get this beautiful meal, wonderful entertainment. How much can you deduct from Maisa money for the ticket? So the answer is, well, listen, you have to evaluate what's your personal gain, what's your personal benefit from the dinner. You got a meal worth, let's say, £50, £20 in entertainment, £70 benefit. So therefore, you could deduct £180 from your Maisa account, but the £70 benefit you got, that's not Maisa money. It was a consideration, and you really received a benefit for that. So that's not my son, that wasn't a charity donation. So who are they going to wrap?
You only go because they'll be upset if you're not there.
Listen, often you give people money because you feel under social pressure to do so. It doesn't mean you're not hyped for the money. So you went, you ate the food, you listened to the music, you got to pay. Who had then a raffle ticket as well? If I buy a raffle ticket for £20, and really the actuarial value of the ticket based on the percentage chance to win the offset against the value of the prize is, let's say, only £3. £17 is my sum money, £3 is personal gain, because I bought a chance in this raffle. Therefore, you could only deduct £17 from your my sum money. The other £3 was personal gain. That's on the case of the raffle tickets. Over here, it's more complicated. Because over here, the children only worked to raise the money in order to enter the raffle. There was no other incentive to give money. They weren't trying to donate money to the school. They didn't feel a big debt to the school. They went around driving people crazy to give money only simply for the reason because they wanted to enter the raffle. So since they wanted to enter the raffle, not to put them in, we can't use the terms and conditions because the kids are just not happy with that. I spent my whole Purim trying to raise money for the school. I did it in order to have a 25 chance of winning the prize. To take that away from me is a fundamental breach. Can't do that. Now, since the child worked, one can't just ignore it and hope the problem will go away, because when someone works, as was discussed here last week, you have a chiv to pay. If I make a deal with somebody, I hire you to do a job, and I make up to you I'm going to pay you, you have to pay. You can't get rid of that pay. And another halacha, let's say I hire someone for a job, and I don't promise them money. I promise them a particular item. I say, listen, I'll hire you for a job, and you can have my watch. The watch says £50. Rather than giving you £50 in salary, I'll give you a watch worth £50. So there are more paskins in Shin Lamed base. Balbais shesocha poelim. Somebody who hired workers and said to them that I'm going to give you litnoi chayfetz bischar, I'm going to give a particular item for the benefit. Right? The halacha is that you can either give the item or you're allowed to back out and give a cash equivalent. You're allowed to do that. In other words, even though the school over here promised the workers who were the children that they're going to pay them with a 3 in 25 chance to win this for him, nonetheless, they would technically be allowed to back out and say, we'll give you the cash equivalent instead, because there's no kinyan yet per se. There was no actual physical acquirement of the chayfetz. Unlike any other deal where I try and sell somebody an item, until possession is taken, there is essentially a right on behalf of the owner of the item to back out from the sale. So therefore, in this case, the school would not necessarily be obligated to follow through and put the kid in the raffle and do the whole raffle again. Because to do the raffle again is obviously a problem with the other three kids who've won. It's a whole chomp. They don't want to do that. So they could technically say, listen, we offered you a chance, 3 in 25. Let's take the actuarial value of that, which is, let's say, £50 is for him, 3 in 25 chance, let's say it's worth £18. We'll give you £18 cash. However, the school don't want to do that, because the whole point of the raffle is they want to buy sforim for the kids as an educational experience. To give a kid cash, they're not interested in doing that. The kid might not be happy with it either. However, not to give cash is problematic. If a person has a worker, and when a person hires a worker, you may pay cash payment. Not to give cash is a big shy. It's machloikis. When a person cannot pay cash, certainly a person that has cash, you have to pay cash. A person doesn't have cash, you have to try and make sure you can get cash. There are a few exceptional cases where you can get away without paying cash. Check is a big shaila if you're yoitza. Again, there's a halacha of yoimoy tite in schara. You've got to pay a worker on the day. Since a check in this country is really not a negotiable instrument, if the bank is open, you go and get cash for it. That's one thing. You can't really do that in here. It's very complicated. So, a check is not really called yoimoy tite in schara. Again, whenever the worker is happy with what he receives, you're yoitza. If the worker is happy, then you're yoitza yechiv. But if the worker is grumbling, it's a problem. You will not, again, if you pay a check, you will not be over baltoli, because whenever the worker is happy with the consideration he receives for the job he's done, there is no baltoli, because he's happy with it. However, the mitzvah b'yoy mai titen schorai, you have to pay him on the day, which is either, well done, either cash or a food item, because we say the reason he's working, he wants to buy himself supper. If I give him food, I'm also yoitza. But if I'm not paying him food and I'm not paying him cash, you're not yoitza b'yoimoy tite in schorai. Even food's a shayla, you can get away with food, but that's certainly better than nothing. Again, we was with the case given last week. A person comes home at 1 a.m. and he has to pay his babysitter, right? And the babysitter says, "Oh, I have no cash to pay the babysitter. I don't have a change of a 50." Big problem. A person at the very least should give shava kesef. If you have no cash and just cannot get hold of cash, give something with cash value as well. Give something with £15, £20, whatever the bill is. What about it? Maybe the next day, come knocking at the child's door and say, "Listen, I want to buy back what I gave you." But a person should certainly not leave the babysitter with no money at all.
Were the children wonder off, or would they be paid in cash? Or
no, they were getting £50 worth of swarim. They were getting swarim.
Or book vouchers.
Whatever the swarm, you know, the local swarm store. Yeah, again, it was part of it. It was, you know, obviously the parents were not interested in having their kids getting, you know, cash. You know, giving swarm is also an educational experience in itself. You know, showing kids the chashivas of swarm, you build up the libraries. That was part of the incentive of the school to make the prize, the reward in that way.
Why couldn't we give the kid that we missed out?
So could they give the child? So again, the goes like this. They had the opmach with the child to give you a 3 in 25 chance to win £50 worth of sforim. That is an item worth money. If they don't want to give him that item, that's given the cash equivalent. They can't give him a sforim equivalent. Because again, the opmach is, "Why have a deal with you? I'm going to give you a watch or a cash equivalent. I can't give you a cheaper watch." That's not the deal. The deal was a watch. So over here, the sforim were £50. That's what I could have won. That is a chance to win sforim is an item in itself. If I'm not giving you that chance to win £50 of sforim, I've got to give you the cash equivalent. Giving you a sforim worth £18 is not the cash equivalent of that. Now, it could be you want to say that cash equivalent of £18 is like £25 in sforim, but again, that is not. I'm not giving you cash. I'm giving you a different item. Shove a kesef, the equivalent item, you can't give a worker bar korach. He's not interested in that.
Why can't we make a raffle again? What's the bias? What's the problem?
Make the raffle again. The three kids who won are going to be very upset.
But okay. There's no four.
No, there's only three winners.
Only three. Oh, I see.
Someone's going to lose out. So very problematic. Politically, it's very a bad idea. Again, in pressuring the kid to, you know, try and benefit and take a, let's say, swarm instead of the prize, you know, we saw you left out, we'll give you a £20 safer to make it up to you. You have the problem with Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina in Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel, Oy Samach, speaks out a lav de raya, so b'achei yichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'achei lo yisir de boi b'forach. You can't enslave people. What's enslaving people nowadays? He says, emos ha'aleim, if people are fearful of somebody else, right? Or shame boishim, or they're embarrassed not to do something because of someone else. Loi yitzavi oisim, you can't command them to do something. Last ktan al gidoila, el yitzanam, only people are interested in doing that. They have a reason to, they have a personal reason they would want to comply with your instructions. This is very negia person in the workplace. I hire a secretary, right? Secretary has very, very specific instructions. You've got to answer the phone, write letters. That's it. One day, the boss says to the secretary, you know, if we're closing in 15 minutes. Unfortunately, the cleaners didn't come today. Would you mind vacuuming? Now, that's a serious problem because I'm a secretary, I'm not a cleaning lady. However, the secretary feels very bad. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm going to say no. I'm going to lose, face before my boss. He's going to be upset with me, you know. And in that situation, the worker will probably be rather, you know, sit back and just get on with the vacuuming, I'm not happy with it, rather than enrage her boss. If the boss does that, that's love the Raisa. Because you're using your situation power over somebody else to follow, to force through your agenda, and really, you have no right to force this agenda on that person. My deal is to be a secretary. I'm not a cleaning lady. You know, can you clean the toilets? No, I'm not a cleaning lady. You say that, well, you know, okay, fine, okay, next time you're on extra vacation, we'll know about it. And because you've got the situation power over you, therefore you feel compelled to comply. That is a serious issue. So over here, if you've got this, you know, this teacher and the principal, you know, and the headmaster looking over this kid, say, do you mind taking this safer instead? Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, they're not really happy with it. They have no choice. You know, you say to, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, you say to the babysitter, you know, do you really want me to go to the ATM machine to get cash? And, no, I don't. Well, of course, yes, they do. You know, I didn't babysit for nothing. But they feel compelled to apply. Forcing your agenda through a situation power is also, so you got to be extremely sensitive when you have power over somebody, not to abuse that power to their detriment. You got to find out, Zuzi, if you want me to go, I'll go to the ATM machine. It's not a problem. Go anyway. Solve the problems. Get the mitzvah said the rest anyway. So in trying to solve this kid, so we've got to make sure the kid is really, really happy with what's going on. They're happy. You want to offer them a patrol. You want to satisfy them. I'll buy you an £18 voucher, £25 voucher. We'll give you candies, ice cream. You know, just make us not do the raffle again, please. You know, okay, the kid finally agrees. Okay, fine. We know he's happy. And get away with it. Now, that's all very well. Except, there's a problem. The problem is the Chuvas Chaviz Yoyer. Chaviz Yoyer lived in Germany, though, that area, about 300 years ago. It's a very famous story. Famous story came to Chaviz Yoyer 1 year in Purim. There were 12 Chevra. 12 Chevra were having Purim suited together. And New Pesach was coming up, so they got together. Each of them gave some money. I don't know how much it was, 20, 30 pounds, equivalent of groschen, I don't know, rubles, I don't know, zlotys, whatever it was, into marks. Right, into the bucket. They bought a beautiful becher, and they're going to raffle off the becher. How are they raffling off the becher? So what they were going to do is going to take 12 pieces of paper. On one of them, they'd write the word Mazel Tov, 11 blank. Put them into a bucket. The other bucket, everyone's name would go into the bucket there, and each one would have a kid come up, pull out one name, one piece of paper from each basket, and the one who came out with the name Mazel Tov, he won the becher. That was these 12 chevra came to give the chavis yoyer like this. So anyway, so they did this, and they had the raffle going, and the second name had the word Mazel Tov on it. So he's very happy. So anyway, some nudnik went and looked at all the papers, and found that there actually were only 10 blank pieces of paper, and two papers said Mazel Tov on it. So, the 11 Chevra says, oh, that explains why Mazel Tov came out so quickly. Because a second time wasn't fair. The other fellow said, what do you mean? Everyone had exactly the same chance. We all had the same chance. Everyone has, you know, everyone's had a 1 in 12 chance to him. I was pulled out second, so therefore I got lucky. But essentially, no one had less of a chance than anyone else to win the raffle. So Chavis Yoyer says, that's posher, that's bottle, that girl is no good. He based it on a Gemara. The Gemara is in Baba Basra, Daf Kuvavim base. The Gemara says that if two brothers got together and made the Chalukah, they divided up an estate, a Yerusha, and afterwards bought Achim Mina Amidas Hayom, a third brother came afterwards and showed there was a problem with the original division. So the Machlokes in the Gemara, do I say that each brother has to give up a third of their estate? In other words, the third brother will come along, say to the first brother, okay, I'm going to take a raffle of one of your fields. Let's say there are 6 fields. The two brothers have got 3 fields each. The third brother comes along now and says, okay, I'll take one of your fields and one of your fields. Yeah. Or do I say, no, the whole thing has to be done again? So the Gemara says, Machloek is Itmar, Rav Omar Botlo, start from scratch, Shmuel Omar, no. What you do is you keep as it is, and you just take one from each field. The halacha is like Rav, we pass in, Botlo, you got to start again. The Chavis Yoyer says the same thing because, actually, I'm not sure exactly why. The Chavis Yoyer says the same thing as this case. He seems to say that since there was more of a chance for the second name out to win the prize, because once the second name is out, therefore then, is a 2 in 12, there's a 2 in 11 chance, rather than 1 in 11 chance to win. There he says he had an unfair chance to win. As though the brother, one of the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, the first two brothers, they had more of a chance, unfair chance to win one of the fields the third brother didn't have. And therefore, the machlek is bottle. I don't exactly. I don't know exactly why the Chavis Yor brings on this Gemara. Yeah. The problem is that each one. I want the one in the west. I don't know exactly why the Chavis Yor brings on this Gemara, but this is the Gemara Chavis Yor brings down. Anyway, he says go start again. Now they did the raffle again, and that's where it gets exciting. They did the raffle again, and this time on the sixth raffle. The name Mazel Tov came out with one of the names. So, Nudnik comes along, checks for the papers. Very good, there's only one Mazel Tov. Very good, that's good. Checks the other bucket. There's only 11 names in the bucket. Right? So, he says, Mazel Tov, this is my Chavis Yor. So he says, well, let's do it again. So, at that point, the 12th guy says, hey, I had no chance, I would again. So the winner calls him across. Listen. I'll buy you out. I've got the becher. I'll pay you. You rather raffle. I'll pay you off. Let's say I'll pay you, 5 ruble, and therefore you'll be happy. You have no tevia, so he's happy. I'm happy. The other 10 guys lost. End of story. So this is the shayla. Can they do this? This is the shayla that came to the Chavis Yor. Now, can the winner say to the guy who's left out, I'll pay you off, you'll be happy, I'm happy, here's no tevia, raffles kayim. So Chavis Yor says, nothing doing. You go to the raffle again. Why? What's the problem? On the contrary, the 11 guys who were in the raffle, the 10 losers, had more of a chance to win without this fellow. So they should be happy. The fellow is happy because he's been paid off, and the winner is happy. So what's the issue? So, the pasuk in Mishlei. Mishlei says like this. Mishlei says Zayin Lamed Gimel says Bachek you tell us Hagoyrol. Says in his basket you put the goyrol. Ume Hashem kol mishpatoi. And what comes out is from Hashem. The answer comes out from Hashem. This principle that the etzem when you do a goyrol, the result is predicated by Hashkocha. But just as David says, because why? Because Nigzar Mishpat Adover Me Hashem. Because Hashem is the one who's dictating what's happening. You find the idea of Goyrol in the Torah. You find it in Nevi'im as well. In the Torah you find Al Pi Goyrol Yecholik Oretz in Pashas Shlach Lecho. The Torah says that how is Israel divided up? Because Klal Yisrael had 12 Shvatim, 12 parcels of land, and each one offset against another one. Now we know it's Al-Pi Hashem. The land was given out Al-Pi Hashem. So how did it work? Was Goyrol a random thing? What's the big deal? It's a Goyrol. We know Haman did a Goyrol, he peeled poor, he made a raffle. He was very happy when it came out on Yud Gimel. What was he happy for? It's a random Goyrol. Why was Haman so happy about it? We know by Yoina was on the ship, and the ship was sinking, and the sailors made a goyro to find out who's to blame, and it came with Yoina. And they said, yes, correct. They threw Yoina into the sea, and everything stopped. It was a random goyro. How could they throw someone into the sea based on a random goyro? Ochon. You find in Yeshua, beginning of Yeshua, when they lost the war, they said, something's gone wrong. Someone's taken spoil from the city of Ai. That's why they lost the battle. From Yericho, someone took spoil from Yericho. They lost the battle of Ai. They did a goyro. It came down eventually to Ochon. And Ochon was Moide. Made the Kiddush Hashem. He has taken spoil Shuloi Kedin from Yericho. So the goyro worked. You also found by Shaul and Yonison. And Melachim and Shmuel Aleph, when Yonison ate, and that's why the battle also went wrong over there. Did a goyrol, and Shaul Yonison, and Taka came out correct. So what's the yisoid? The yisoid is a goyrol is be'etzim, it's a reflection of mishpato mi'ashem yaitzei. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. When a goyrol is done correctly, essentially a person is relying on the Rebbeinu Shalom, show me what's the correct thing to do over here. When it comes to chalukas or oret, when it comes to dividing up the land, right? We know that Hashem wants Yisachar, let's say, to be on some place. He wants to be by the border. So may the Goyach makes that happen. That's his tevi. That's his teva. Zulun wants that type of land. Every sheva got what was meant to be al pi hashgacha. So when a goyel is done, it always shows the emes. Haman was happy because he thought, oh great, that means it's a simen hashomayim that taka yud the yud dal dador is a day when I'm supposed to make Purim. Why? Because that's a good time. Obviously, that's when the Mazal Klai Yisrael is the worst. I thought it was a bad month for them. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He was very happy because it's a simun shomayim that is what the Baruch Shalom wants to happen.
Well, so, in the first case, the way around, when there was two Mazal Tals, he said, Hashem, so that's simun shomayim.
In that case, all 12 were in. Still has a fair chance.
Yeah, I'm saying, but the two Mazal Tals, which are the first.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make difference.
There's
been two in there, three in there.
Oh, so the point is this. The goyro has to be done al pi the rules of the goyro. So if we agree to make a goyro a certain way, then that is the opmach. That's the deal they have. That's arrangement. To get the siyata d'shmaya. The siyata d'shmaya to make the goyro has to be done correctly. So if you leave somebody out, that goyo will not have the necessary siyat d'shmaya. It's not going to work. So, the Chaviz Yoyer says, we know a goyo is meant to work, b'siyat d'shmaya. That means that for the goyo to vise the emes, to show min hashomayim, who should be zoich in this becher, the goyo has to be done correctly. And if the goyo is not done correctly, because someone's name left out, then the other 10 people can say, one second, we never had a fair chance. Because we want a goyel which would work out P.H.M. And the goyel can only work out P.H.M. if it's done correctly, like the boy, with all the names there. And therefore, since we never had a fair goyel, you got to do the goyel again. And therefore, Paskin the Chab is your, and the Chab is a good time. And the 10 losers can say, you got to redo the goyel a third time, make sure everyone's name is in, and then pick out one, offsets against the other one. So a goyel has to work out pi Hashem. Let's say, Take, you have a goyel, and you have two people with the same name in the goyel. Right? Let's say you take a common name. Right? The common name. Is that a common name? Let's go, Moshe Levy, common name. Right? Anyway, Moshe Levy, fine, okay. Moshe Levy, a common name, right? Moshe Wise, whatever. Right? I know two. Moshe Wise, right? So now, so make a goyel, let's say, and you put Moshe Wise name out of the hat, right? So beg the Moshe Wise once. So some nudnik's gonna go through the paper. Says, hey, you have an unfair chance too. Says, no, it's a different guy. I don't understand. Which Moshe Wise won the raffle?
Yeah. You make a goyel between those two?
Well, so those two split it. Oh, that's not fair. Because each of them had double the chance of winning half. That's not a fair goyel.
They'll make a goyel between those two. I have to be one of them.
But the 98 losers can say, wasn't a fair goyel? Because a goyel has to be al pi Hashem. It's got to be straight. And if one person's name isn't twice, it's not fair. So if my name isn't twice, it's no good. That you understand. Right? So if mine isn't twice, no good. So just my name is twice, I show somebody else. It's not a fair goyel. The other 98 had less of a chance than I did to win. If everyone has to have an equal chance to win. If everyone doesn't have an equal chance to win, then the goyel is not a straight goyel. If the goyel is not a straight goyel, then you're mislacking the P.H.M. You won't get the Siyata D'shmaya, and therefore the goyel will be bottled.
So right at the beginning, the first case of dating the case.
Now we have a problem. So now, every time you've got these goyel always going on, right? The goyel for the raffle, for the shopping, for the safari. Is it the same thing or not? Because there you have a big problem. Now the school will now have to redo the goyel. These three kids who lost will be very upset with the school. It's not good chinuch. Is it the same thing or not? So this shad I was busy with for a while, I spoke to the Rosh Kollel of Lakewood, Rabbi Shuker Pena, about it a few times. And he told me it's all the same thing. It's chaluk, it's different. So why is it different? He says, what's a goyel? What's a raffle? When I make a raffle, I'm selling tickets. What do my tickets say? My tickets say, win, let's say, a 1 in 1,000 chance to win the car. So that means I have I own a car, I'm going to buy a car, and I'm selling you a chance to win a car. So I have a deal with you. So I have to give you a 1 in 1,000 chance to win the car. So therefore, essentially, I could take your name, put it into a bucket with 999 blank pieces of paper, and put one name out, put a paper out. If your name doesn't come out, a blank paper comes out, my deal with you is over. Because I gave you the chance you bought. Since I gave you the chance I bought, what's your time? You don't have time on me. Whenever a raffle is done, and there's an owner of the item, then what you have over here is separate people who are not shutfin. They're not partners in a deal. If you're not partners, then there's no goyro. I am giving each person individually a chance. I will put them all together in a bucket to save me losing maybe 1,000 times. If I do 1,000 individual raffles, and each person I'll give the chance, 999 times blank pieces of paper, and your name, right? I could essentially walk away with not paying anyone the price, and no one has hands on me because you all got your chance. When you have the case of the Chaviz Yoyer, there were 12 shutrin in the Becher. The Becher was owned by 12 of them. No individual person owned the Becher. No one was trying to give them a Becher. They bought it together. They owned it b'shutfus, and they decided this is how they're going to split it up. If that's how we're going to split it up, that's a girl, that will decide who the Becher is going to belong to. So that is a deal between those 12 people. When you have Eretz Yisrael, it's a Dover Sholim, belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. We have to split it up. How is it split up? So therefore make a gyro. When you have a date, you have a whole year of dates, we're going to pick up one of those dates. But there, you have a relationship between the person and the dates, person and the calendar. So I've got all Klal Yisrael have done an Aveira. There's one individual we've got to pick out. So therefore the gyro will tell me who that individual is. Because collectively, all Klal Yisrael are together in this. And therefore, the one person, the Ochon, who stole the spoil, him, we can pull out the hat. Because someone's going to pull out the hat, because that's the deal. By Yoina, you've got everyone on the ship. One person we know is causing the problem on the ship. We'll do a girl, the emes will come out. Masha Einkein, when you have a girl, the raffles they do, with the car, the shopping, there is no collective. I have sold 1,000 individual tickets. The 1,000 people have no connection to each other whatsoever. Now, I may choose to put all 1,000 together into the bucket. That's my prerogative. I can do that. I don't have to do that. Since they're not all together, there is no one item. The car's not even bought yet. It's not pshat that I told everyone I should this on a car, because most times the car isn't bought. Also, the number of tickets being sold is also unspecified. There's no shutfus over here. Since it's just a regular raffle, therefore the halachas of goyro will not apply altogether. So therefore, in the case of the school, certainly, all the school need to do is put this child's name into a bucket, and with the bucket, there can be another 24 pieces of blank paper, and they'll pull out 3 pieces of paper from the bucket. If the child wins, give them another prize. Now, the school may not want to do that because they're risking, let's say, £50 a sovereign. The school has a choice. Again, for the school to back out and say, listen, we'll give you £25 cash or £25 safer or £18 voucher instead, that's the school's prerogative. They would be allowed to do that because by being left out probably wasn't a pshia. We would let them. It's backing out of a deal where you were not deliberately, where you're not trying deliberately to back out from the deal. Something went wrong. You might be able to do it, but if the school would have the prerogative to put the child into the bucket with the blank pieces of paper, pull out 3 names, if the child wins, give them the £50 worth of prizes like you promised. Either be 4 winners. So what? I didn't say there'll be 3 winners. I said each person will have a chance, 3 chances to win the prize. Every child got a 3 chances out of 25 to win the prizes. The fact that I made 2 raffles or 3 raffles, forget. They got more. They did better because the 21 losers of the original 24 person girl had more of a chance to win. Because they're in a bucket with only 24 pieces of paper instead of 25 pieces of paper. So they got more. They got a better deal. They have no time against the Goyro. Besides the percentage chance of winning, they did had more of a chance. Mitzad that Misyat Dishmai is lacking, there's no Siyat Dishmai in this. They were not shooting any items. There's not one single item we're trying to get rid of. Since there was no single item trying to get rid of, therefore you don't have the Chavos Yoreh Taina, and therefore the Goyal would have to be complete. Now this sugya of Goyal this comes up many, many times. There's a whole sugya Negea to Kadeshim. Kadesh is now minig is in many shuls, is that everyone just all the Kadeshim together. But some shuls, I think that's a shul in habit, some other shuls, one Kadesh per person. And what do you do if you have, let's say, few people want to say Kadesh? So what you do is you make good rollies. Now the Magen Avraham has a whole arichus and simon kuf lamed base how to make a goyrol about Kadeshim. And who goes into the goyrol? Which Kadeshim more chosh than the other ones? You know, Kadesh Rabbanon, Kadesh Yosem, is it Kadesh at the beginning of the tefillah, at the end of the tefillah? And he describes there how you have to make a goyro. And put all the names together into a goyro. Right? But again, over there, he says you have to follow the halachas of goyrolis. Because, since there you got five chiyuvim, therefore essentially the Kadeshim are owned, right, by everyone who does in the shul. They have to, the goyro has to untake it correctly. To make a goyro incorrectly, he has a shot over there. Let's say there was two yard sites, and they both on Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos day, and one fellow didn't come Friday night. So now come the Shabbos morning, and the Friday night guy who got the Kaddish says, "Listen, let's try Goyal now." And the other fellow said, "No, you already had one Kaddish." So again, he says over there that since Be'etzim all the Kaddish owned by the whole tzibur, you already got your Kaddish. Now you want to have a Goyal. It's true, maybe you got entitled to one more Kaddish. This is already the sugya of a different halach goyros he brings down. The shaila is brought down in Kufayin Dalid, where it's a zenem zeli choser. If something makes no difference whatsoever, can you insist on a goyro? The case was over there, there were two brothers and three sodis, and there was a bechor and a poshut. That means two brothers, the father died, left over three fields. One brother was going to get one field, one was going to get two fields. So the one brother said to the other one, "Listen, give me the middle field, right? And then we'll decide we'll make a goyro on the other two." And the other brother says, "No, let's make a goyro on all three fields because I might get the middle field." So he says, "Well, all three fields are worth exactly the same. To you, there's no benefit of which field, one or the other one. To me, I want two fields together." So the first brother insists, "Let's make a goyro because I might win." Second brother says, "No, zanim zele choser. Winning, you're not getting by the goyro. Oh, the only reason you want the goyro is in case you win, you're able to sell me the right. If you win the middle field, then you'll have a situation power, you'll be able to charge money for that supposed in the middle field." Can the first brother insist on making a goyro? So in that, zmachloik sakam chaburumo. Do I say it's kufa midas lim? Is it unfair or not? You have a situation power. Can you charge for that or not? So the mechaber says you're a kufa, you're allowed to charge for it. Ramah says, "No, Anacham, you can charge. Hashem put you in a situation. If I have a zechus for a goyro, that itself is worth money. And since I have a zechus to make a goyro, I'm allowed to enforce that in the zechus, even if essentially I have no benefit from that goyro." This is because the sequel of the Hilchos of Goyro. So in the case of the Chavos Yoreh, where it's shooting together, you take a half to follow the Goyro, Pia Choyk, it's going to be our Pia Hashem Yotzah Dover. However, when it comes to the raffle we make nowadays, that's not a shutfist, that's just one person selling a price to everybody. And essentially, as long as everybody gets a fair chance to win, which is the names on the bucket, then the Goyro is good Goyro, and the winner can work with it. And people left out, we have to give a refund for lost tickets, but there's no chiyuv to redo the whole Goyro. So you know, the school did the bucket, blank papers, and they didn't win.